The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "Indeed, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. After agreeing to pay the workers a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. He also went out about the third hour and saw others standing unemployed in the marketplace. To these he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will give you whatever is right.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. When he went out about the 11th hour, he found others standing unemployed. He said to them, 'Why have you stood here all day unemployed?' And they said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He told them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group and ending with the first.' When those who were hired around the 11th hour came, they each received a denarius. When those who were hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but they each received a denarius too. After they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'Those who were last worked 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have endured the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not make an agreement with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. I want to give to the last one hired the same as I also gave to you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? In the same way, the last will be first and the first last.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The parable we are considering today is difficult. It stands in sharp conflict with the way that we normally operate. It is similar in this way to another of Jesus' parables, the parable of the unjust steward. In that parable, there is a manager of his boss's property who has been accused of managing it improperly. The boss tells him that he has to turn in the books for the business, but before he turns them in, he calls in the debtors and writes down their debts. His hope is that by writing down their debts, he will make friends with them so that when he's turned out from his employment, they might be nice to him. They might take him in. Now this, frankly, is fraud. He should go to prison for it. But his master does not call the police. He praises his manager for being shrewd. This is an extremely odd way of doing business. We have a very odd way of doing business in our parable today, too. The owner of the vineyard goes out to hire workers at 6 o'clock in the morning. He tells them that he will pay them a fair day's wage, a denarius. And this must have been fair enough, for the workers willingly go to work. And then he comes out at 9 o'clock and he sees others who have nothing to do. He tells them to go in the vineyard and he'll pay them what is right. And he goes out at noon. And he goes out at 3 and he does the same thing. And then at 5 o'clock in the evening, 1 hour before quitting time, he goes out again and finds more people who have nothing to do. He sends them into the vineyard as well. And when it's quitting time, the owner tells the foreman to pay the workers their wages, beginning with the last and up to the first. And those hired at 5 o'clock in the evening got a denarius. And so does everybody else. It doesn't matter if they worked 1, 3, 6, 9, or 12 hours. They are all paid the same. They all get what the workers agreed to at 6 o'clock in the morning. What gives? Jesus' parable will not work very well as a business model. What do you suppose would happen at the marketplace the next day? I don't think the owner of the vineyard would find very many workers at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I bet you there'd be a whole bunch of workers at 5 o'clock in the evening. If a man can get paid for doing 1 hour's work for the same as he gets for working 12 hours, then which do you think he would pick? Self-interest, the looking out for one's self, is baked into the way that we naturally and normally think. This way of thinking is frustrated by these two parables, and I think that's why these are two of the most difficult parables to understand. The boss of the unjust steward should look out for himself and therefore call the police instead of giving compliments. The owner of the vineyard should look out for himself and give these workers as little as he can get away with. The workers who worked all day look at this generosity and they're irritated by it. They've been sweating in the heat. Their looking out for themselves tells them that they should have that stuff that was given to those who didn't work as much as they did. So what is the alternative to looking out for one's self? The alternative is to be free. What does it mean to be free? Being free means that whether you are compensated or recognized or rewarded is not important. It is neither here nor there. You're not working for the reward, but for the sake of the work itself, whether there's a reward or not. So let's apply this to the parable at hand. The worker who is free would be satisfied with the work that he was doing in the vineyard without regard to how he was compensated. The worker works because the work is good. End of story. Being rewarded or compensated is good and enjoyable, but this worker is willing to forego that pleasure. That means that the worker is free. The worker who is not free is going to count out every penny and will not be satisfied with anything that is not according to his standards. The one worker is free, he's not looking out for himself. The other is not free. He is a slave to his own advancement. The worker who is free, he's free from the need of promoting himself. He's able to look on with happiness at the generosity of the owner who gives that guy who worked only 1 hour the same as him. He can recognize that generosity. The worker who is not free can't help but be envious. He wants that money for himself. And he even has a pretty convincing argument for why it should be his rather than going to that lazy fellow who only worked for an hour. Another way of saying that a person can be free from seeking after his own good is to say that he's free with regard to justice. Justice means that a person gets what he or she deserves. Everybody has a right to justice. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But if we want, we can give up our claims to justice. We can say, no, that's okay. I don't need compensation. If someone has done wrong to you, then you have the right to have that injustice corrected one way or another, but you don't have to exercise that right. You can forgive instead of demanding justice. Consider these words of Jesus from his Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evildoer. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If another wants to sue you, to take away your shirt, then give him your coat 2. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him 2. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. What we learn from Jesus' words here is very different from the way that we naturally or normally think. Instead of looking out for ourselves, we are urged to look out for the good of the other person. But there's more. We are not only to look out for the other person who is good and nice to us, we are to look out for the good of the one who has been harmful to us. We are to relinquish our claims for justice and give and forgive instead. Let's apply this to another scenario. Husbands and wives can't help but wrong one another. If we weren't sinners, then we wouldn't do this, but since we are sinners, we can't help it. Your spouse is going to do things that you don't like. This might very well entitle you to some justice. The rationale might go something like this. Since he spent money on something that he wanted, then I'm entitled to spend money on something I want, even though I know that he won't like it. Or, she didn't do this nice thing for me, so I won't do this nice thing for her. These claims for just compensation for the wrongs of the other are extremely dangerous. Beware. Vicious cycles will develop where the punishment that is meted out for a past wrong then has to get punished by the other person, and so on and so on. Lists of grievances start to take shape in the minds of husband and wife. These grievances have the power to end the marriage, if not by divorce, then by estrangement from one another while living in the same house. What is the alternative? The alternative is to relinquish your claims for justice. Give and forgive. If your spouse does something that you do not like, do not hold it against them. Do not punish them for it. Do not create mental lists of their wrongdoings. Those lists are poison. Do not gossip about it with your friends. If you need to talk to somebody about it, then talk to God. Ask him for the grace to love this person who has hurt you, to do good to them, rather than requiring an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, what do you call someone who does nice things for you, even though you have not done nice things, even though you've not done nice things to them? Do you not call someone like that good? Do you not all want to have someone who would love you in such a way? You have the opportunity to be that good person for your spouse or your parent or your boss or your friend. You have been set free to love as God loves. God does not give out his goodness according to whether the recipient is worthy of it. If he did that, then nobody would have anything but his wrath and punishment. Instead, he gives freely and generously even to those who despise him. And that is how we, as Christians, should be too. But we need a lot of help in this regard. Nobody has to teach us to look out for ourselves and our own interests. We've done that naturally from the time that we were born. Loving those who have not deserved our love, that is not natural, but rather supernatural. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit to become God's children and therefore as his children to be somewhat like a chip off the old block in the way that we deal with people. We need help and encouragement to put away our flesh's objections to this way of living. Whenever we sacrifice for somebody else or relinquish our right to justice, then there will be this nagging in our heads that says that this is a very unwise thing to do. The nagging will say that if we sacrifice like this, then we'll become a doormat. If we give up our rights to justice, then nothing will be left for us. If we do not fight for our wages, then we'll end up working for free. If I allow my spouse to go on doing things that annoy me, then he will do it only more and more. I won't be able to take all this sacrificing and serving. These are reasonable fears. Worldly shrewdness predicts that we will be miserable if we live that way, and indeed something of this misery might come with it. We are not yet perfectly sanctified, and our sinful flesh will noisily protest, but we have not been left without help. We have a God above. When we are out of resources, who can replenish them? Or do you believe that your goodness and blessing come from your own resources, your own works, your own shrewdness? No. All of that comes from God. If we get worn out and run down and at the end of our rope, then we can turn to the Father of lights, the giver of all good things. We can ask him for our daily bread and believe that he will provide it day by day. Our faith is exercised when we give and forgive and do not have much for ourselves. We have to rely on God to replenish our love, our energy, our patience, our generosity. But God is trustworthy. Try him out. Give and serve and sacrifice. See if he doesn't fill you up. Jesus says that Christians become like ever-flowing springs. Nobody knows where the water comes from with a spring. It just comes out of nowhere. It just keeps bubbling up. So also with the gift of love given by the Holy Spirit. Christians are set free by that. They're set free from their slavery to self to love others. When it seems like it's impossible to keep loving and serving and sacrificing, the ability to do so is given by God. Christians do not just believe that the miracles in the Bible are true. Christians believe that miracles of faith and sanctification happen every day, now, to them and to their fellow Christians. Jesus concludes our parable today by saying, "The last will be first, and the first will be last." Those who give and who relinquish their right to justice and do not look out for themselves look like they are last. They look like they are the losers in this game of life, but the truth is that they are first. When they are living by faith in God's promises, they come to learn the goodness of God, and there is nothing higher or better than love. Love never ends. The stuff and the riches and the denariuses and the memories of this world will cease. God, who is love, is eternal. God gives this gift of love to his Christians so that they're set free to love others instead of just themselves. The last will be first. On the other hand, the first will be last. Those who cut a good figure for themselves, those who fight for every last penny, those who demand justice for themselves, those who look down on others who are not as good as them, these are the successful people in a worldly sense. They know how to run a business. They know how not to be shortchanged. But they know nothing about taking up their cross and following Jesus. In fact, they are enemies of this way of life. They teach that this will not lead to blessedness and success. For that, they say, you need to look out for yourself. They act as though this is some great wisdom, but this is the philosophy that even a hog understands and lives by ruthlessly. Therefore, pluck up your courage to love, to serve, to sacrifice, to relinquish your right to justice. You will not be disappointed. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.